Thank you, Graham. For those that like titles, this is entitled All in Good Time. Every day we see and hear examples of man's inhumanity to man. Every day we sigh and cry for the sorrows of the world and pray more fervently, Thy kingdom come. Every day we ask, How long, O Lord, how long? We desperately want to make a difference, but how and when? So let's take a glimpse of our glorious future to begin with. The beautiful words of Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, set the scene for what God has in store for all mankind. So let's turn over to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, And behold, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Verse 7, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons. Now let's turn over to Isaiah 35, verse 1 through 10. Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. In Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10, it fills the heart with longing for God's kingdom. In verse 1 of Isaiah 35, says, The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Verse 2, It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Verse 3, Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Verse 5, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. But God's kingdom is not with us yet. A lot has to happen first, and God has it completely under his loving control. God is not the author of confusion, and all will be done decently and in order in his good time. Now we know that this is Satan's world. Sin has always been with us. Well, we can all attest to that, can't we? Always been with us. From the moment Adam and Eve rejected God and his way, Satan became the ruler of this world. His demons, princes of the power of the air, as it says in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, sway and influence all men, from the lowliest peasant struggling to find a crust of bread to leaders strutting the world stage. It is undeniable that this is Satan's world. We know that Christ overcame him and that evil will ultimately be vanquished, something for which we are deeply thankful. But the battle is now very personal. We too, as begotten sons of God, have to overcome evil in our lives so that we may be formed into an honorable vessel for our God to use as he sees fit. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 20. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. One day we too may hear the words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then we will be ready to make a difference. The suffering, sins, sorrows, griefs, and pains of the world are all too obvious. Disease, crime and violence, corporate and political corruption, environmental degradation, injustice, terrorism, wars, immorality and perversion. The list is endless. This is a satanic world. If God was not in charge restraining Satan's hand, this world would have already rushed headlong to an untimely end. But God has his plan, his time, and things will be done his way. Satan, the god of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is our adversary, a ravenous lion, seeking whom he may destroy, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Imagine yourself facing a hungry, roaring lion, eager to pounce. How much we need God's protection, guidance, love, and mercy to overcome our enemy. And we can, and we must, if we really want to make a difference. So what can we do now? We cannot change the world. We cannot change society. We can't change our neighbor, our child, our boss, our husband or wife, or friend, or our enemy. We can only change ourselves, and we can't do that without Christ living in us and submitting willingly and fully to his will. Have we been lulled into thinking that we can save the world now? It is very human to want to do so, and even to think that we can make a substantial difference. How wonderful it will be to turn even one life around. But one day, not too far away, God willing, we will be turning lives of millions of people around. But when God says it is time, we are not of this world, though we are in it. Let's look at 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We must take care not to lose sight of the fact that we are awaiting a better citizenship. As Abraham said, and become deceived into thinking that now is the time to try to bring about change. Abraham recognized that he was a sojourner and understood the long-term purpose of his life. His legacy to the future was the seed of Christ's line and thus salvation for all. He was obedient and totally submissive to God and led an exemplary life that still inspires us today. But he was always aware that his physical life was a temporary existence, a training ground for a far greater purpose. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac was built on a firm foundation of faith in God and his plan. He was willing to do what God said, even though he may have wondered how God's purpose would be served by such an action. But he trusted his Lord and was prepared to do as instructed in the time and the place God said. Christ said that he was not of this world, though he was in it. As we read in James 4:4 and John 15:19, his disciples thought he would help overthrow the Roman occupation and thus usher in the kingdom of which he spoke. Although he could have done so, he knew it was not yet the right time. Part of the last temptation he faced in Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10, was seeing the world and all the horrors that Satan would continue to bring upon it, and yet he had to resist intervening prematurely. How hard and painful that must have been for him. Let's look now at our calling. Satan's bottom line is to destroy as many people as possible to prevent them from entering that glorious kingdom. His target right now is the begotten sons of God, those who have been shown God's truths, repented of their sins, and have been baptized, thus putting to death the old man. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. Ephesians 4. Verses 20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Those sons and daughters who, having received the Holy Spirit, go on to live a life of growing closer to God, submitting more and more to his will and making his ways and his thoughts their own, as we read in Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9, those begotten children being transformed by the very Christ living in them, becoming a new man, that honorable vessel for God's glorious purpose. Let's look now back to 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. Beginning in verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So what can we do? Paul says in Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As loving Christians, we have a part to play today in evangelizing where we can, in doing good as we see opportunity, and so letting our lights shine. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, treat others as we would wish to be treated. Giving a kind word, a pleasant smile, a helping hand. Serving our community where possible. Praying for and forgiving our enemies. Helping the widow and the orphan, as it says in James 1:27. The basic works of a converted and faithful Christian. However, these things have to be done from the depths of a sincere and loving heart, not something we have learned to do so as to look good to others. This sort of approach does not come easily. It is from Christ living in us as we do what he did and with his attitude. We are his workmanship as he lives in us, and we respond to his promptings through the Holy Spirit. Like Christ before us, however, we must resist the temptation to support this world's systems at the expense of losing sight of the precious future we have been called to be involved in at this stage of God's overall plan. How easy it can be to allow God's works to distract us from doing the real work of God, examining oneself humbly through prayer, study, and fasting, and learning to submit more fully to God, and being made ready for the opportunity of bringing about real change. We are to be growing in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Submitting to our Heavenly Father and being made ready to bring the whole of his creation to salvation. It's rather like the safety instructions on an airplane. First, we fit the oxygen mask to our own face and then help others. That seems selfish, perhaps, but it is the only way to be of real use. We are to be prepared now so we can truly help later, and we must leave it in God's hands to his perfect timing. This will be a time to make a difference. There will be a time to make a difference. Judgment is now in the house of the Lord, 1 Peter 4:17. It is our time now to qualify for eternal life because we have been given the calling to be part of the first fruits. This is an unbelievable privilege. In their order and in God's good time, all will have the opportunity to see the world for what it is and turn from it. We can be there to lead them to repentance and forgiveness and ultimately eternal life. Let God do it his way and in his time. He has started a good work in us that he will finish, as it says in Philippians 1:6. But he can only do so if we let him. We are engaged in a battle for the greatest prize of all, eternal life. We are to dwell with fullness of joy in God's presence, who has pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Let's turn over to Psalm 16 as we conclude here. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. Your presence is fullness of joy. Correction, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Have a good Sabbath, brethren.